Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Today is May 31st, 2020. And I had planned a whole different episode for this week. I interviewed Rebecca Alexander, who is the founder of All Go, an app for plus-size people, and the author of a kid's book about body image. And that was the episode that was supposed to air. We bulk record, so we record people in advance. And then Chris, my husband editor, spends a lot of time helping to make it sound a little more crisper and clearer and a few less ums. But I talked to Chris this morning as we were getting ready to finalize that episode and do all the show notes. And I just said, I can't do it. I can't launch a regular episode. I can't. And I'm not going to try to find someone last minute. I firmly believe that Black Lives Matter. And I, being a white woman, raising a white son, want to acknowledge my white privilege, and I want to raise a son who is not colorblind, someone who sees color, and someone who uses his white privilege for good. And I can't just not say anything when I see so many people hurting. And I'm a storyteller, right? I'm a blogger. My whole career for the last 9 years has been telling my story and the story of others. And I have been amazed over the past 9 years doing this work to see that my story has created change. And a little, just a little bit. But it has helped to change how people are treated during pregnancy. It has helped care providers to change how they practice. So I know from experience the power of telling your own story and the difference it makes. But I am a white woman, so why would I be telling a story right now? Is that even appropriate? And Chris and I went back and forth of like, I don't know if it's appropriate. But, you know, I can look at the demographics of the people who follow me. And while I am so thankful, it is diverse. And I have worked to be inclusive within my work to create a diverse following of people and a diverse group of people who I support. Still predominantly my audience and my following is white. So I feel like I have an obligation in some ways to share a little bit about how I've come to realize that there is privilege with the color of my skin, and to realize that for so much of my life, I said I was colorblind and I love everyone and I'm a good person because that's my personality. I'm a people pleaser. I've spent my career before these past 9 years. I worked in the nonprofit sector for a very, very long time. Like, I dedicated my life to helping people. So I just assumed that I was a good person and I wasn't racist and that I didn't have racist tendencies. I started to have these things happen in my life that showed me that I did, and that were shocking things. And people that came into my life in my 20s and late 20s and especially my 30s to teach me a lot. And I'm so thankful for those people and those experiences. And now that I'm 40, I've spent a lot of my 30s working through these things and being more cognizant of privilege and racism and trying to not say that I'm just, oh, I just love everyone, but that, you know, Black Lives Matter, because we just saw George Floyd be murdered. Like, millions of people watched it. Like, so what do I do? I try to continue to amplify others and to share stories and to help create change in my bubble, but I know there's more that I could do right now to speak up. So I want to share, and I shared the story over on the Plus Mommy Instagram of talking about how in 2013, I was a newly certified childbirth educator and so eager to learn everything I could get my hands on. And there was a birth activist conference being held in Utah. It was the second annual. And I worked with a doula in Denver to raise funds, and another doula joined us to raise funds so we could travel to Utah to be and take part of this conference. And I was so excited. And we get there and it's just like, oh, it's so great. And to be in a room, it was the first time I met Rebecca from Evidence-Based Birth and Don Thompson from Improving Birth. Like, it was just such a moment for me. And I was learning so much. And then this woman, Mama Hakima, came to the podium and she was giving a talk on birthing while Black. And I was just so ready to learn. Like, I just remember like having my notepad open and just being like, oh my, I'm going to learn so much. And she talked about how Black women are 4 times more likely to die in childbirth than white women, and that Black babies are twice as likely. And I was just like, my eyes were so open, and I was just like, what, really, what? How can this be? And a woman spoke up and said, you know, like, we want to do something, but we're afraid that we might, you know, offend Black women if we talk about these statistics and things that are happening. And Mama Hakima said that, you know, it's our duty to sit within our discomfort as white women and then act and then speak up and then be an ally. And then it hit me, like, at this conference, Mama Hakima was the only Black woman. I was in a room full of white women. I was in a room full of people who looked exactly like me, and I didn't see it until it was pointed out to me. And that was such like a turning point for me. And I had had other experiences in my past and other friends who have been so kind to teach me in many ways. Oh, my friend Brandy, we worked together for so many years and we're still so close, and I love her so much. And I remember like being in my 20s and being like, Brandy, am I supposed to say African American or Black? And she's like, she called me Jenny. She's like, Jenny, you're gonna upset someone one way or another sometimes, but the point is that you need to say something. You need to say something. And that's been the message that I've been given. And not that I would ever need to talk over people of color. I know to stand back and give other people the podium, but just that when I have the opportunity in my own space to speak, that I need to speak. So ever since then, I started to look at my life more. And like, I remember the first time I was ever pulled over by a police officer, and it was because I cut him off. I lived in Long Beach, California at the time, and I was moving in an apartment, and I was just moving my car really fast on a hill. And I had never been pulled over before, and I started to get out of my car because I didn't know better, and I should have known better, absolutely. And I just explained that I was just moving and I was not paying attention. I was sorry. And I did not have my license on me. And he let me run up to my apartment, get my license, handed it to him. And he let me off with a verbal warning. That was it. And I look at those experiences that I've had in my life, or times when I've been in trouble and I've gotten out of it. And it's just like realizing that I have this privilege because of the way that I look. And yes, I am a very fat woman and I get mistreated all the time. But that still doesn't mean that I don't also have plenty of privilege because I'm a white woman too. And I'm so thankful for Mama Hakima and Brandy and others, and so many other people in my circle that have really opened my eyes to, okay, so now what do I do with this information? And I think one thing that I do is have conversations with my family and with my friends about white privilege, and that it's important that we acknowledge it and that we talk about racial tendencies that we have because we're white and we've been raised, like I was raised in a, you know, white wealthy area. Like, this is just how I was raised, but that doesn't mean that I have to see things a certain way, and that I can't acknowledge that Black lives matter. And it's not that all lives matter, because that all lives matter is a given. Of course all lives matter. But right now we need to center Black lives, and we need to help to change this systematic racism, this culture of oppression for people of color. And I don't have the answers. I don't have the right words. I've probably already misspoken during this podcast. Again, I don't even know if I should be centering myself and having this conversation in this way. But I just know that I need to sit within my discomfort, and I need to act, and I need to say something. And I don't like have an answer or a bow to put on this podcast episode and tie it all together with something. I just know to say, like, I'm going to put a bunch of stuff in the show notes, in resources from people of color, incredible resources and books that if you're white and you're listening and you want to learn more or grow more, then please tap into them. Please, can we all help to change what is happening in our world right now, not just in the United States, but especially in the United States? I just wanted to say something. I felt like I needed to say something. I want to end by reading part of this book. So Rebecca was supposed to come on this week, and she wrote a kid's book about body image, but there's a collection, and it's a kid's book about. So there's been a kid's book about money, and a kid's book about bodies, and a kid's book about mental health. It's a great set of books. And so I would like to read just a little bit about the founder who started this. Wrote a kid's book about racism, and their last name is Memory. And I would do a disservice if I tried to pronounce their first name right now. So I really should have watched a video before and made sure I pronounce it correctly. And I apologize for not doing that, but I didn't want this podcast episode to be scripted at all. I just wanted to speak from my heart. So Memory is his last name. And then I want to just read a little bit from his book, a kid's book about racism. I felt like that was a good way to end this, because I feel like, you know, my podcast is for moms, right? Or people who want to become moms, and specifically for people of size, but I know people of all sizes listen to this. And as a mother, like, my number one priority in my life is to raise a good human, to raise a good son. And that's really important to me. Like, we didn't focus on words or the alphabet and numbers as much as we focused on say please and thank you. Like, you'll learn your numbers and colors and all that eventually, but like, let's learn like manners. And I just really want to raise a good kid. And I think that a lot of us, most all of us, right? We all want to raise good kids. And so I think we have this responsibility, especially now, to talk to our kids about racism and to talk to our kids about what's happening in the world on whatever level they're at, and meeting them at their level. And one really great way that we can do that is through books. So, what is racism? Racism means to hate someone, exclude them, or treat them badly because of their race or the color of their skin. And it happens all the time. Not just in big ways, but sometimes it shows up in small ways, ways that are almost invisible, like a look, a comment, a question, a thought, a joke, a word, or a belief. Racism is one of the worst kinds of means someone can be, because racism thinks being different is bad. But being different is actually really good. Like, really, 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 a whole page of reallys. Almost there, I promise. Really, 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 1,000% good. Because being different means we have so much more to offer each other. And then it continues on. And I think when I look at the world divided, even my own personal Facebook feed, I think that to me, there's no question. If I look at this racism as a base level of this kid's book, this few pages from this great book that I just read, like at the base level, like it's wrong. And no one should be treated differently because of the color of their skin. And that sounds so simple. And I wish the solution was just as simple, but it's so complex. And so I just wanted to just turn on my recorder, speak from my heart, and say that I will continue to address my own racial tendencies and address my own white privilege and continue to share the stories and amplify the voices of people of color and to help create change and to acknowledge that today's date is May 31st, 2020, and not much has changed in a very long time. And just even in my lifetime, like I, again, grew up in California, so I was at Outdoor Ed in 1992, and we were doing this thing where you could have lifesavers, and if you crunch them in the dark, it like looks like things are sparking in your mouth. And I remember we walked out to this dark area on the mountain on Outdoor Ed, and we were doing the lifesaver thing. And then I just saw something glowing down in the valley. And we all saw it glowing. And no one, none of the counselors or teachers said, "That's the LA riots. That's LA on fire." And I didn't learn about it until I came down the mountain, but that's always stuck with me. And to know that even in my lifetime, nothing has really changed. So again, I've probably misspoken. I've probably said wrong things, but I don't want to remain silent. I'd rather say something. Please, please go to the show notes and look at all the resources there. And yeah, I'm going to keep being better, doing better. All right. To anyone listening who is a person of color, I'm really sorry that all this is happening in the world right now. I'm really sorry. Okay, I love you guys all so much. Thank you for being a listener of the show, and take care.